Turn with us to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. I trust the Lord will help us. You know, this is, I don't know if you can tell it, probably if you, a lot of you don't know me very well, so you can't tell it, but I am very nervous. Hallelujah. Praise God. And, I appreciated the way the Lord helped us last night. I really did. I appreciated the good altar service. And everything that was accomplished was because of Him. And I thought, surely after I get the first night over with, this is quite a big difference to the congregations that I'm used to preaching to. And I thought, after I get the first night over with, it'll settle down just a little bit. But it hasn't. And despite all of it, my wife sung last night until she got wringing wet with sweat and didn't bring a jacket. And I was very gentlemanly, even though I'd preached and got soaking wet, I'd give her my jacket. And how many of you know it got a little cool last night? Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, we over in the motel had a rough time last night, didn't we? Hallelujah. And my girls didn't want to bring a sleeping bag. They said it's always just so hot. And you know, just I said, I think you ought to take it. I really do. Take your sheet along, and if it stays warm, you can just lay on top of the sleeping bag and put the sheet up over you. I have a feeling they're glad after last night they brought a sleeping bag. Hallelujah. They'll help me on the microphone, give me plenty of juice, and I'll do my best tonight to preach to you. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision, for ye are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Would you pray with us one more time? Heavenly Father, please, please help us. I acknowledge my need of You. Help us tonight as only You can. Give us the sweet victory that we look to see around this altar tonight. Challenge us, O Lord, by Your Word, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Please reach out, touch hearts and lives for You tonight. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, around this altar. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, for His namesake and His glory we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. The third chapter of the book of Philippians deals, of course, with Paul's own description of some of his nature, some of what he has obtained in life. And yet he is willing to say, I count it all but lost that I may win Christ. Some time ago the Lord dealt with me, I feel like it was the Lord, about a particular passage, this particular passage of Scripture. And I read several verses, but I really want to draw your attention to the very first verse. And the message may be just a little bit different tonight, but I'm trusting the Holy Ghost to help us. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. This is what he writes. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous. But for you it is safe. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help us, on the quest for safety. The quest for safety. Sister Sharon and I have 4 children. Hallelujah. I started to say we have 2 of them raised and 2 of them still at home. But I am learning what my folks said when they said, you never get them raised. Hallelujah. You just never get them raised. Our oldest, our son David, 23, and the Lord has done a great work for him. He got married in October of last year. Married a wonderful young lady out of the church. Her dad's our song leader in our home church. And last summer, almost a year ago, next month will be a year ago, our oldest daughter, Tarina, got married. We had a daughter married in July, and a son got married in October. And Sister Sharon and I have been crying ever since. Hallelujah. I don't know how many times I've heard her say, I wish David and Trina could be at youth camp with us this year. We have called Trina several times, I think 4 times since we've been here. She's going to make Sister Sharon and I a grandpa and grandma. Supposed to be the end of this month. But the way things are going, it could be next week. I told Sharon, I'll be glad. I'll be glad. I'll tell you something about our children. I love them. There is nothing within my means that I would not do for my children. I have tried to teach them and train them in the ways of God. I didn't teach my son to be a preacher. I left that up to the Lord. I taught him how to be a Christian. I didn't raise my daughters to be preachers' wives. I raised them to be Christians and to submit unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the Lord work in their lives. You know, in raising them, I have found out a lot of times that I have tried to warn them about things. I've tried to tell them, don't get around this. Stay away from this. Don't get involved in that. Don't go over here. Don't go over there. Watch this stove, it's hot. Don't play around the wood stove, you'll get burnt. Don't get up too high in the tree, you could get hurt. Don't try and walk across the fence, you could get hurt. A few times they listened. Lots of times they never. There's been a few times that we've run to the refrigerator and got out a stick of butter and put it on the burnt finger and thought maybe that would help it a little bit. run and turn the cold water on, stick the hand under the water. Think maybe that'd help it a little bit. You know, I'd hear them cry and weep, and I'd pick them up and set them in my lap and try and take care of them, you know, and settle them down a little bit and tell them it's going to be all right. But really, something down inside of me wanted to kind of give them a good shake and say, I told you not to get around that. And after I found out they was all right a few times, I said, you should have listened. Come on here now. Hallelujah. I have even said, I have told you 1,000 times, don't get around the wood stove. Hallelujah. I've told you, don't play around the steps. But I'll tell you what I have learned. I've learned when my words don't work too good, a blistered finger or a knot on the head, as much as I hate to see it come, it usually works a whole lot better than my words does. Hallelujah. But I must confess to you that I would have rather said it 1,000 times more than to have had to have taken care of the first burnt finger. You know why? Because we love them. Hallelujah. And when I read in the book of Philippians, when the Apostle Paul says, for me to write unto you the same thing again, I want you to know it is not grievous. I don't have any problems telling you the same things again. You've heard me talk about them before. You've heard what I preached on before. You've read other letters perhaps that I've written, but I want you to know you may have heard it over and over and over again, but I ain't got tired of telling you. It's not been grievous to me. You know why? Because I love you. And because what I'm writing to you, for you it is safe. It is safe. One of the biggest industries in America or even in the world today, hallelujah, is the industry that makes people feel safe. Hallelujah. You'd be surprised the billions of dollars that are spent every year to try and make folks feel safe. Hallelujah. Homes put locks on, windows, locks, fences around, alarm systems on automobiles, on homes. Hallelujah. All these are done just to try and make folks feel safe. Hallelujah. I went this evening to pick up the dry cleaning. And it just so happened beside the dry cleaning place was a teacher of the ancient art. What did we say this was? Hallelujah. Tai Kwan. Tai Kwan Ko. We'll just call it that. That's close enough. Hallelujah. And he was teaching this ancient art. And his advertisement in the window was to make folks who are unarmed know self-defense. If you come and visit him, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll have you mentally and physically conditioned. For some of us, that'd be a hard, hard thing to do. Both of them, hallelujah. And he will teach you the discipline of self-confidence and respect. He'll help you take care of yourself. All you have to do is shell out a little bit of money each session. You know why he got the good business? Because folks want to feel safe. They want to feel like that they meet up against anything that is bigger, not just in stature, but mightier in power than they appear to be. They want to feel like they're safe. They want to feel like they can handle the situation. They want to feel like they are in control at all times. But the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Philippians, and he said, "Finally, my brother, for me to write indeed unto you the same thing is not grievous." I want to tell you something. You can condition your body and your mind and have the strength and power that you'd like to have. And it may be able to help you in a physical battle, but I want to tell you something. Every young man and every young lady that's here tonight, in case you didn't know it, I want you to listen to me. You have an adversary that all of your physical strength cannot stop. You can put on, you can go to a automobile parts place. You can buy you an alarm system for your car, self-install it for anywhere around $69 on sale, $89. You get what you pay for. You can have alarm systems installed in your car that cost thousands of dollars, that are so sensitive that just barely touching them, and some of them, even if you come too close to them, they'll set off. But I want to tell you something. There is an adversary that the most sensitive of alarm systems bought anywhere will not detect. Trillions of dollars are spent every year to try and protect this country of ours. Radars. Come on here now. Hallelujah. Military strength is shown, and I'm not against that. I really ain't. But I want to tell you something. We have an adversary that will not be detected by the most sensitive of alarm systems or radar systems. Oh, glory to God. Help me tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. The quest for safety. There is an elderly gentleman that I know that has passed on since, it's been several years now, he's been gone. But he lived down in Kentucky, and he was raised a poor man, very poor. But he accumulated some land over the years, and as he got older, his land was found to have coal on it, and this man that was raised almost in poverty as we know it became a multi-millionaire almost overnight. Worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. He came up to Cincinnati. He came up to the dealership that sold Rolls Royces. He went in, looked at the showroom, kind of looked one over. He said to the man, he said, "If I can drive that, if I like it," he said, matter of fact, he didn't say, "If I can drive," he said, "you drive around the block and let me see it," and said, "if I like it, I'll buy it." All right? Hallelujah. And the man done it, and he come back, and if he said, "well," he said, "I'll take it." He reached in his pocket and got out a checkbook, and Brother Belt, he wrote a check out, gave the man the card of his banker. He was in his overalls and shirts, you know. Give the man the card of the banker and said, "you can call and check on it." And he called to the bank. And Brian, when he called the bank, the man told him who he was and said, "I'm calling about this check. This man here wants to buy a Rolls Royce, and he's giving me a check." And the banker said, "Well, who is the man?" And he told him his name. And the banker said, "His check is fine. As a matter of fact, if he wants to buy a dozen of them, you can take the check. It's all right. It's all right." He built him a $1 million home. He put an electric iron fence all the way around it. He had guard dogs on his property. But just about a year before he died, they broke in anyhow. And they beat him and his wife until they almost killed them. And all the money that he had, and all the money that he spent to feel safe, he didn't make him feel safe. He lived in fear. I said he lived in fear. Hallelujah. When we go back to the hotel tonight, we'll shut the door, and it's supposed to lock, I assume it does. But when Sister Sharon gets in, she'll not be satisfied with the door locked. She'll raise up and turn the lock on the top part of it. Hallelujah. She'll put the chain over the knob. And when we lay down, before she goes to sleep, she'll say, "Are you sure the door's locked?" Hallelujah. Come on here now. Praise God. Are you sure the window's locked? You know why we have locks on doors? You don't think it's to keep us in, do you? Hallelujah. It's to keep somebody out we don't want in. You know why we put locks on windows? It's not to keep our sleepwalkers from walking out and getting away. It's to keep the one we don't want in from finding a way to get in. Hallelujah. Because we want to feel safe. We live in an hour when sin is on the rampage so much that in many of our large cities, there are metal detectors that are placed outside of the doors of public schools. You try and get on an airplane. I think it was the trip in November, but I was going to Guatemala. And I don't know why, but it seems like them things always beep when I walk through them. Hallelujah. And this time it beeped, and I checked and got all my change out and laid my billfold out, and I went through again. It still beeped. You got anything else? I took my belt off. I had a buckle there. Maybe that's it. And then finally they said, "It's your suspenders. Hold your suspenders out. And hold your hand over that metal thing." And I went through Brother Belt, and it still beeped. She said, "Sir, you're going to have to step over here." I stepped over, and she got that little paddle thing, you know, and she began to run it, checking to see if there was any metal anywhere. And it beeped right in my coat pocket. And I reached in my coat pocket, and I had a half a pack of Halls. Cough drops. Everybody watching to see what this dangerous criminal was taking on the airplane. And they found out a half a pack of Halls. And the foil that was around it was setting the beeper off. Hallelujah. Well, it makes me wonder how it can ever be hijacked. I just can't understand that. How in the world they get it on? Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, the folks that was going to get on board that plane, they wanted to find out who this fellow was. They couldn't. I kept sending off the metal detector. I ain't getting on a plane if he's riding. Praise God. I want to be safe. I don't feel safe anyhow, 30,000 up. I sure don't feel safe if a guy keeps setting off that metal detector. Hallelujah. I want to be safe. I want to be safe. I'll tell you what I have learned. I have learned the best thing in the world, the most wonderful evening's rest at night in the world, is to be able to lay your head down on a pillow and feel safe. No matter what comes, or no matter what goes. Now, I would to God that I could have preached something else that may have lifted you up, but I've got to preach to you what I felt like preaching tonight. I'm preaching on the quest for safety. The Apostle Paul said, "I have preached it, I have spoken it, I have said it before, but I'm telling you again, hallelujah, because I want you to be safe. I told you last night that I have been raised in church. I am the oldest of my mother and dad's four sons. We were raised in the house of God. They were saved and had the Holy Ghost before we was ever born. Church is all I've ever known. Oh, God, help us tonight. But I want to tell you something, my friend. There has been times I have sat in the church services At an earlier age, when my dad insisted that his sons went to church, and many's been the time the preacher has started and it didn't make any difference where he started preaching, seemed like he ended up right back at the same place. And it was always coming down on how you're supposed to live. Whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better about this. He was always coming down. And I know what it is, young folks, to sit there and listen to the preacher preach. Hallelujah. And if we're not careful, we sit for a while and then the preacher gets on it and all of a sudden we say, why does he always end up there? Ain't he got nothing else to preach? Don't he ever get tired of saying that? Hallelujah. You know there ain't nobody in the church that lives like that. Why does he preach against it? Come on. Hallelujah. I don't care where he starts, hallelujah, or how he ends it. Somewhere along the middle, he gets on that same thing. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you're better off not to go here, and you're better off not to go there, and you'll save yourself a whole lot of trouble if you don't get involved in this, and if you watch what you're doing, and watch the people you hang around, and make sure of your company, and make sure you hang around Christian young folks, and so on and so forth. It seems like he's always saying that, and I get so tired of hearing it. Hallelujah. But all the time, the preacher's saying, if you could understand what he's really saying, he's saying, son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want to see your life end up shipwrecked. No, no, no. Hallelujah. I don't want to pass by somewhere and see your life in ruin. I love you, so why I preach it is I'm not grievous. It doesn't bother me at all to preach it again and again and again because I love you and I know there is safety in what I am preaching to you. I know there is safety in what I am saying to you. So that's the reason I preach it and preach it again. When I get up to preach, I really don't get up with the intentions of saying all that. It really doesn't enter my mind while I'm in my study and looking over the Scripture. But if just before I know it, I'm preaching Brother Brand, somewhere along the line, here it comes. Somewhere along the line, here it is. Hallelujah. Be not unequally yoked together. Watch those you hang around. Watch those that you associate with. Don't get involved in this. And don't get involved in that. And turn your back on sin. And turn your back on the world. And don't look at the bright lights. And don't listen to all the voices. And somehow or another it comes again and again. And the reason it does is because there is safety. Hallelujah. And so when the adversary of your soul slips into your home, and he may be able to get past your alarm system. If you have guard dogs, they may never hear him come. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, when he starts to reach out those clammy paws of his and get a hold of you, if you have heard what the man of God said, if you have understood what the Word of God had to say about it, there is an alarm system set off by the Holy Ghost in your soul that says, don't get involved in it. Stay away from it. Turn your back on it. Don't listen to what they say. Don't look at the bright light. You're going to stay safe if you stay with me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. But for you, it is safe. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I remember when my son got his driver's license. Did I hear somebody go, phew, you've been there, ain't you? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't think he could drive, but he could. If you haven't met my son, he has a handicap. Many folks know him. And he has a problem on sudden noises. He'll jerk some. And he went to Bedford to get his driver's license, went up there to the license branch, and there was a lady that was riding with him to give him his test. They got in the car in the little Ford, and hallelujah, he got in first, and the lady split in beside him, and he said, I'll never forget this. He looked over at this lady and he said, "Now, ma'am," said, "before we ever get started," he said, "I want to tell you something. If you say anything to me, I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump out of my skin if you say anything to me." That's what he said, Dave. Hallelujah. Handed him the piece of paper, and he come over and showed it to us. He passed. I wasn't convinced, Brother Beam, that the paper was right, so the first night I let him borrow the car. Hallelujah. I walked the floor until he got out of sight. Hallelujah. I knew he was going to Arby with some of the young folks. Oh, God help me. Hallelujah. So I went the other way. Praise God. I got there just about the time he made it in safe. It was of the evening. He got out of the car and started across that little lip of his. He started across and he'd done everything perfect, Sister Ruthie, except he forgot to turn the lights out. I said, "Hey, Dave, turn out the lights." Hallelujah. Atta boy. Oh, glory to God. You know why I done that? I wished I hadn't. But I was really worried about him. Hallelujah. I was really worried about him. I still worry about him. I said I still worry about him. I worried about him ever since he was a little boy, Dwayne. I worried about him when I saw him running with other kids and falling behind. I worried about him, Dave, when I first let him go play ball with all the boys. If he'd get knocked down or get knocked over, hurt himself some way or another. Hallelujah. Better let him go anyhow. I worried about him, Brother Faust, when he'd fall. And he'd need help up, and I'd say, if I help him up, he'll never learn to get up. Got to get up on his own. I worried about him. Still worried about him. Married, doing good. Hallelujah. But you know why? Because I love him. I said, it's because I love him. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And why I'm preaching this message to you tonight is because it's burned on my heart for the last 2 weeks for this camp meeting. And I want to tell you something, young folks. Most of you I don't know. Some faces are familiar, but I want to tell you something. There is a place where you can find safety. You will not find it in the things of this world. You will not find it in this life. You can't go to the store and buy safety. Are you hearing me? No, 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 1,000 times no. You can pay $100, $500 for a little puppy dog, take him to the best training schools, and get him trained to be the most ferocious thing that your block has ever seen. Put him on a chain, and every time you go out to walk, let him walk right along beside you. But you're not going to be safe. Did you hear me? You are not going to be safe. I want to tell you something. Like the Apostle Paul of old, and like these precious man of God, men of God that are setting up here tonight, I am preaching to you that the only way to really be safe is to find your life wrapped up in God and in the Word of God, walking in the light as He shines the light for you, having precious communion with Jesus. That is safety. And if you are looking for it, it'll not be found in a 45. It'll not be found in a 357. It'll not be found in a switchblade. It'll not be found in brass knuckles or any other device. The only real safety is Jesus Christ and what He has taught us. Hallelujah.
And so when we strive and we search and something within us gets stirred up and the blackness of night finds us trembling just a little bit, oh glory to God, and we're trying to be safe, we want to feel safe, but we can't hardly walk down through there. I really don't feel safe. Oh glory to God, I tell you what makes you safe. It's what thus saith the word of God. Hallelujah. I want to be safe. I said, I want to be safe. Are you hearing me? Praise God. So the Apostle Paul says, I'm preaching it to you again. Hallelujah. I'm saying it again. I want you to be safe. Hallelujah. So Pastor Belt stands up and preaches to his folks. Hallelujah. And tells them of the dangers of sin. Tells them of the dangers of getting involved with this world. Pastor Brim stands up to his folks in Ohio and warns them of the dangers. Hallelujah. Pastor Shelton stands up, hallelujah, in Kentucky and warns them of the dangers of sin. Oh, God, help us. Ah, I feel what I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm telling you, the reason they preach it is because they want you to be saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? They want you to be saved. Hey, I'm talking to you tonight. I'm telling you that they preach it because they want you to be saved. They tell it to you because they want you to be saved. They're interested in you being able to lay your head on a pillow at night. God forbid that we should ever have to say goodbye to you. I got ready and was headed for church on a Tuesday night when I pastored in Indiana. The phone rang about 5 minutes before I left home. I picked up the phone and there was a lady on the other end that was weeping and crying. She said, is this Reverend Brock? And I said, yes, it is. The pastor of the Hilltop Pentecostal Church, yes, that's who I am. She said, Reverend Brock, she proceeded to tell me her story about how her life had such tragedy in it. She proceeded to tell me all of the different things and all of the different problems that her life had. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. She said, I have a 10-year-old daughter. And she said, my neighbors love her so much. My mother and dad is dead. I have no family. And they take such good care of my daughter. And they could be such good parents to her. And she said, Reverend Brock, she said, I have a pistol in my hand. And my daughter is at my neighbor's house. She said, I don't see any other reason for living. All I'm worried about is my daughter. She said, my neighbors can take care of her. What do you say? I didn't recognize her voice. I didn't know her. I began to plead with her. And I said, listen here, young mother. There ain't nobody can take care of your daughter as good as you can. They may do their best for her and may do all they can, but they can't take care of her like mommy can. And I pleaded with her and I begged her, please don't do it. Please don't do it. Don't you understand that the adversary is trying to talk you into this? You're not ending it all. You are not ending at all. You're just moving faster. You're just moving faster. There's so much more that awaits you. Oh, God, help me preach tonight. Listen to me, young folks. I'm preaching to you tonight because I want you to feel safe. I said, I want you to feel safe. I have asked these brothers tonight to put this rope up here. Because I want to preach to you and tell you we want you to be safe. We want you to understand that the truth of God's Word is not something that confines you. It's not something that restricts you. It's not something that keeps you closed in. But the truth of God's Word and living the truth of God's Word is not a fence that keeps you in, but it's a fence that keeps the adversary out. Hallelujah. The standards that are raised by the truth of God's Word are not raised to confine you, but they are raised to protect you. Hallelujah. The things that sometimes seem so hard for us to grasp and so hard for us to understand is not meant to be something that takes away our joy, takes away our fun. I want to tell you something, my friend. Somebody may tell you it's fun to get into an automobile and be able to stop and buy liquor and ride down the road at a fast speed. They may tell you it's fun, but I'll tell you what, when you stop at a hospital and visit some young man who for the rest of his life will not be able to walk, will be paralyzed because of the automobile accident he was in, or you walk by and you talk to a young lady whose face is scarred for the rest of their lives, and they'll tell you it really wasn't as much fun as I thought it would be. If I'd have listened to what the man of God said, if I'd have listened to what mom and dad spoke to me about, if I'd have listened to what my youth leader had to say about it, if I'd have paid more attention to what was said to me about God's Word, I'd have been a whole lot safer. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so I'll tell you what happens. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The Word of God begins to build a fence. It begins to build a fence. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Brother David, help me out, will you? Brother David Brim is a pastor of the church, the Gospel Church in Dayton. Stand right here, Brother David. You know, folks, when he preaches, hallelujah, and he preaches to his young folks and to his people and other folks and other churches and youth camps, and he tells them about the truth of God's Word, hallelujah, you know what he's doing? He's starting to build a fence around individuals. He wants them to be safe. Where you at, Brother Rob? Hallelujah. Come on up here. Brother Rob has agreed to help us out tonight. Hallelujah. Right here, Brother Rob. Brother Rob is a Christian young man living for God. And he's found himself right in the middle of this fence. Hallelujah. And Brother Rob wants to be safe. Do you know there's an adversary out after you? Do you know that if the devil could, he'd have you playing the drum somewhere else besides church? Do you know if the devil could, he'd have your friends somewhere else besides in church? Hallelujah. And so he realizes that if he wants to be safe. And so when the preacher stands up, Brother Belt, would you get a hold of this, Brother Dwayne? I want you to do something else in there. Brother Belt to preach to him and tell him about the truth of God's Word. And as he preaches, he pulls the rope just a little bit and begins to tighten it up just a little bit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so Brother Rob is in this protection that the Lord has for him in His Word. And when Brother Belt has preached the truth of God's Word and began to raise the standard just a little bit, not too much, just a little bit at first, then he comes to youth camp. Hallelujah. And the youth camp heads, you know, and leaders and deans and overseers, they begin to preach the same thing. They begin to teach the same thing, and it tightens up just a little bit on this side. Hallelujah. And you notice where Brother Rob is? Look where he's standing. Look what he stands in front of. He stands in front of a place that reminds us of the communion that we must have with the Lord. And so while the standard is being raised by the preaching of God's Word, and then after the pastor has preached it, and after the youth camp has taught it, then before long, the evangelist comes by Brother Belt. Hallelujah. And you know what he does, young folks? He begins to preach that same thing. Not grievous, but they want Rob to be safe. And as they preach it, it gets a little bit higher. Praise God. And then you know what happens? Youth camp comes along again. And precious brother Dwayne Gallagher is preaching. Hallelujah. And you know what he does? He gets up with the other brothers. He grabs a hold of the fence. Hallelujah. He don't want any gaps there. A ravenous beast can jump over it. But he raises it and pulls it a little bit tighter. And it raises just a little bit higher. And a little bit higher. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. And as it raises higher, brother Rob, hallelujah, kneels down at that sweet communion place with the Lord. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Lord, I know there's an adversary out after me. I know there's one that will destroy me. And I want to be saved, Lord. I want to be safe. I don't feel confined. I can go where I need to go. Somebody said, but Brother David, the standards are just being raised on the side. I chose the altar because I want you to know the devil may come in a lot of ways, but he ain't going to come in over the blood. He ain't going to come in over the altar. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. I want to tell you something. If you want to find safety, you'll find it in your communion with the Lord. If you want to know what it is to feel free and to live free, you'll find it in the Lord. And so the preacher preaches it again and again and again. Hallelujah. Brother and sister Adair, come up here, please. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. You know what they do? They come in. Hallelujah. Oh, help me. I really feel like preaching this, folks. They come in, and you know what they're doing? Hallelujah. They're not saying, you don't have to pay no attention to that old preacher. Hallelujah. My mother and dad have 4 sons. Every one of us are bigger than dad. But I found out I never got so big that if it was needed, he still couldn't handle me with that switch. I'm telling you, he could use it, brothers. If I got caught talking about the pastor, if I got talking... Called Sister Bell talking, saying, you know, that old Claude, he don't know nothing. He's just an old fogey. You know what happened? It'd be sad singing and slow walking for a long time. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, you don't have to fall. Please don't fall out with me. But when it comes church time, we didn't take our homework to church. My dad said, yeah. Anything the preacher tells you, he was for education. He put us through as far as we wanted to go. But he said, what the preacher says is more important than what you hear down there. There's a time to do your work. Come on here now. When I was growing up, we didn't take coloring books to church. Where am I at here? What am I doing? Hang in here with me, brothers. Don't look at me like that. You'll get me worried. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what mom and dad wanted? They wanted their sons to be safe. Oh, bless their hearts. They wanted us to be safe. And when my daddy taught me something and he sat us down and talked to us, he didn't say, now you don't have to do it this way, or you don't have to go that way, or because you're my son, you can do it a little bit different. If anything, he raised it and pulled it just a little bit tighter. And just a little bit tighter. Hey, I want you to be safe, son. I want you to be safe. There'll be a day when you'll be out of my reach. There'll be an hour when you'll be beyond my voice. There may be a time when you don't hear my voice anymore. But I want you to be safe. So my precious mother and my precious dad would fall on their knees with us. And they'd weep and they'd cry and they'd pray with us. The night the Lord began to deal with me with the Holy Ghost, on conviction to be saved. My brother Aaron and I had stayed out late at night. We had stayed out much later than we were allowed to. We came home knowing what was waiting us. I was sure that the switches were already cut. I was sure that the light was on in the whipping room in the basement. I mean, I knew what we was to expect. But we got back home and found the lights were out. We got to the front porch and seen no lights on. Climbed up the railing on the front porch, got on the front porch roof, reached over and opened up the bedroom door, window, and got inside and laid down in bed and didn't hear nothing. Made it. Whew. Made it. Hallelujah. And laid there just a minute and heard something. Got up out of the bed and got to the top of the stairs. What is that? Couldn't quite make it out. Went down the steps to the first floor. What is that? It's coming from the basement. Go over to the basement. Open up the basement door. And Brother Dwayne in the basement was Lee Brock and Lena Brock. And the voice of my dad began to ring out, "Oh God, I don't know where David and Aaron is. But wherever they're at, Lord, would you get a hold of them and save them?" Oh, glory. At that particular time, I'd have rather taken 100 whippings than heard that. I could have finally went to sleep after the whipping, but that night, I got back to my bed and it just kept over and over. Oh, God, I don't know where they're at. But wherever they're at, would you get a hold of them and save them? I want to tell you something, Mother and Dad, if you're here tonight, the most important thing you'll ever do for your children is to teach them that the truth of God's Word and that the preaching of the Holy Ghost, anointed man of God, is what they need to keep them safe. It's what they need to keep them safe. They don't have to be popular in this world to be safe, but they have to know Jesus Christ to be saved. They don't have to be the biggest boy in the campus to be safe, but they have to know Jesus Christ in order to be saved. They don't have to be the most educated boy in the school to be saved, but they have to know what it is to have sweet communion with Jesus Christ if they're going to be saved, if they're going to live right in this hour. So I say, preacher, preach it on. God forbid that any of us men of God that are here tonight would even contemplate the thought of letting down the standard, because the moment we do, the adversary will reach in. The adversary will come. He may get as close as the standard, but that's as far as he's going to go. God help us to preach it again and again and again. It is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Preacher, preach it one more time. Singer, sing it one more time. There is a way called holiness. That's what I'll travel on. There are so many other ways, but I don't feel they'll lead me home. So when somebody beckons me to ways I do not know, hallelujah, I say, dear friend, I'm going to make it home. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take the road that I know. I'm going to take the route that's safe. There is a saying in the world that says, I would rather be safe than sorry. And I feel like it holds true for what I am preaching tonight. I would rather be safe. I said, I would rather be safe. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. I would rather be safe. I'd rather have the standards around me. I'd rather have the sweet communion with Jesus Christ. I'd rather feel the hand of a mother and a daddy on my shoulder, standing by me while I pray, hallelujah, than I would to have the riches of this world, because they'll all fade away. I want to be safe. I said I want to be safe. I said I want to be safe in a dark hour, in a black night, when the devil is raging. I want to be safe. Read that scripture, Brother Dwayne. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm preaching about the quest for safety. I want to be safe. I want to be safe. Listen to me. You're only safe as your communion with God is. Listen to what David had to say in Psalms.
1,000 shall fall at thy side.
Now listen to this. 1,000 shall fall at thy side.
And 10,000 at thy right hand.
10,000?
That's what it said.
At thy right hand.
Amen.
And this is the part of this verse that always, hallelujah, Brother Harry Grieve, amazed me. 1,000 shall fall beside thee. Right. 10,000 at thy right hand.
But it shall not come nigh thee. Hallelujah.
Now, if I got 10,000 fell on my right hand, I'd say, whoo, that was close.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. But he said, it shall not come nigh unto thee. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. If I could sing, I'd sing, I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know why they ain't going to fall? Young folks, you know why you can stand? You know why you can press on and don't have to be a wimp but can be a warrior? Hallelujah. Because you learned the place of safety. You learned where it is and how to get there. You've learned that there's help and that there's a city, there's a place of refuge. You've learned there's a place you can run to. You learned that there's a strong arm that you can lean on. You've learned that there's a shoulder that can sustain you. You've learned that there's somebody that can help you when daddy's arm can't reach it. And when mama's arm can't reach it, and a friend ain't near, you've learned that in that place of safety, you've learned that in that sweet communion with Jesus Christ, at an altar of prayer, surrounded by the truth of God's Word, I have found safety. I have found safety. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. Listen, and I'm going to close in just a moment. I don't mean to overspeak about my children, but my brother Philip and his wife, they have a son. He's a pretty big fella. He's about 6'3", 6'4", weighs probably 280 pounds. He's always been quite a bit bigger than Dave. Little Dave was in his room one day and he was making a whole lot of noise. And I decided to see what all that noise was. Hallelujah. And I slipped upstairs and went to his room. And Sister Ruthie was... I opened the door and looked in and he was laying flat on his back in the bed. And I mean he was in a battle. He had some folks on him, imaginary people on him, and he was about exhausted. He was wrestling and turning. Whoa. Hallelujah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this is what he said. He said, you think you about got me down. But you just wait till my big cousin gets here. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, there's been a few times I felt like you had me bowed down. And I knew there was a place of safety. You just wait till my big brother comes on the scene. You just wait till my big brother comes on the scene. I know what it is to be safe. I said, I know what it is to be safe. I know what it is to be safe. I know what it is to feel the sweet presence of the Lord in the midnight hour. I know what it is when the storms are raging to feel a shelter in the time of a storm. I found it in the precious book. I found it in that sweet communion. I found it in the touch of the Master's hand. I found the safety that I long for. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So let the storms rage high. The dark clouds rise. Oh, they won't worry me. For I'm sheltered, safe within the arms of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He walks with me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'd love to have been like Enoch and walked with God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. You know what I'd like to happen? I'd like for some of you young folks that are sitting here tonight, you've contemplated all kinds of ways of making yourself safe. You know, they teach all kinds of safety in this day and hour. But I'll tell you one thing they should teach that they don't teach enough of. They've thrown it out of our schools. And they're trying to substitute it for all different kinds of ways of being safe in this life. But there's nothing safer than this right here. You hear me? And if you've got a preacher that'll stand and preach it to you right. If you've got a teacher that'll teach it to you right. If you've got a mom and dad that'll pat you on the back and say, live it right. And you've got the sweetest, sweetest thing that this world has ever seen. Because they'll show you how safety is and where it is found. Hallelujah. And so the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Hold on, man. The Apostle Paul stands. I need to close. Come on. The Apostle Paul stands. Hallelujah. And he writes it. And the letter is given. The carrier runs it over. Hallelujah. And he gets it. And he runs it to the church over at Philippi. And the reader takes the letter. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And he begins to read. And in the starting of the reading of it, listen, these are what he says. Finally, my brethren. Read it.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord.
Now listen. This is a reader that is reading to the church the letter that Paul has written.
To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe.
Okay, here, read it, brother. Read on. Read on. Yes.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers.
Oh, God.
Beware of the concision.
Oh, young folks, if you could see tonight how much these precious men of God and those counselors